LushaCast. Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Wonder if anybody ever noticed the switched up
noise. We'll
see. Yeah. All right. So welcome on back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
The tavern is now open.
And we are going to be talking to the erotic entrepreneur. So we can say the erotic edition of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Looking forward to it. Until we do. Before she comes on, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share with your friends, please.
And your enemies.
And leave a comment. On anything.
Talk about how good our singing is.
Well, when that episode comes out.
And rapping.
I'm available for contract.
For bar mitzvahs?
If I need to rap.
All right.
If you want me to rap at your
bar mitzvah,
I'm here for you. I just don't write my raps.
Yeah.
You don't want me to.
No.
All right. What's that? Keep a pretty lady waiting.
All right. Without further ado, the erotic entrepreneur herself,
ooh,
Annie Temple. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Great. I don't know if you could hear us, but we were commenting on how even your little picture before you come on is sexy. Like we.
Oh, well, thank you.
It started good right from the get-go. So.
Awesome.
Well, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I've checked out your podcast and it looks like a fun place to be. So.
Well, I think you fit in perfectly. We were talking about we've had Susie Bratton on a couple times, intimacy expert, and said, I think this fits right along them same lines, kind of, you know,
there we
get some knowledge and some sex fun all in the same episode. So,
oh, for sure.
You can't beat it. You can't beat it. So, Annie Temple, why don't we start with the backstory? How did you become the erotic entrepreneur?
Ooh,
sure.
Time of experiences, huh?
I know, it's crazy. So I left my small town when I was 22 years old, just a couple months before my 23rd birthday, and I moved to the big city. I was completely broke, struggling, trying to find a good job. I had a job making really shit money doing retail in a leather jacket store on a main street in the downtown of the city, but it rains here in the winter and it was the middle of winter. So it just rained and rained and rained and people,
nobody's buying leather.
No one was buying leather. No one even was really out shopping in that rain. It was just crazy. So I wasn't making any money and I was trying to get waitressing jobs. I'd waitressed in my small town, but only in these little mom and pop cafes and whatnot. So the big restaurants and places in downtown Vancouver weren't really interested. They needed someone with more experience than me.
Okay.
So
I just kept not getting hired and I went to interviews and they said, we're sorry, we need someone with more experience than you. And so I was really struggling. And then one of my best friends came to town to visit me. She was from my hometown, but she came to Vancouver, the big city, to see me.
The big city.
And she, the big city, and she was an exotic dancer.
Okay.
In the small town? She was an
everywhere. She just traveled.
Everywhere.
She was amazing. And she said to me, you know, you could just work Sundays and make like over $100 a week just working Sundays. And this was back in 1997. $100 for a day's work was a lot of money to me.
Yeah.
So she gave me the phone numbers and then she left town again and I didn't see her. And about 2 weeks later, I was just ready to try something new.
Okay.
So she wasn't around, you know, pushing you or anything.
No.
Okay.
She didn't push me at all. She just said, you know, you could do this if you're interested. And she gave me the information. So I called the first number on the list and I was invited into an agency's office and I didn't know what he was going to do, like if he was going to make me take my clothes off or anything. I had no idea what to expect. But when I got there, he just told me I needed to have like certain things. I need to have a blanket, music, shoes, and costumes so I could work on stage.
A blanket?
Yeah, a blanket,
Yeah.
because you can put the blanket on the stage and then you crawl around on it.
Oh, all
Yeah,
right. So
stages are dirty.
they no, no way. For the slow
Yeah.
songs, for the slow seductive songs, you need the blanket.
Yes, exactly. And if you get trained or if you have mentors in the industry, they teach you to get a blanket that has two different sides so that you know which side goes up and which side goes down. And then you can
Oh.
have one dirty side of your blanket. The trade
So
secret.
now we're learning stuff.
I assume that's a blanket you probably wash every night.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, a few times a week for sure. But it's the blanket that travels with you when you go on the road, and it's
Yeah.
the blanket that you wrap yourself in when you're on the bus or the airplane. It goes
Okay.
everywhere with you, and it gets washed a lot.
So I never knew strippers had blankies. That's great.
Well, they do in Canada. I mean, this is the only place that I've worked.
Well, we're not far from Canada. We're in
No.
Wisconsin, so we're practically there. A couple hours we can be up to the border, so.
Awesome. I
Yeah.
used to be a stripping waitress in a
Oh.
strip club that was right on the border of Washington. And in Washington, the strippers had to wear panties and cover their nipples.
Okay.
So we had people who lived right on the other side of the border coming over all of the time. And also, they had to be 21 to get into the strip clubs.
Sure.
Over here, you could be 19 and the dancers get naked and they crawl around on the stage on their blanket. And so the strip club right on the border drew a lot of Americans.
Okay. Was there drinking at that in your
Oh yeah.
club? Oh.
Oh yeah.
And you had enough experience for that waitressing job. You were good to go there.
Oh yeah. Well, they hired me because of my stripping experience. Because they needed someone who would get naked every couple of hours on stage and do a little quick strip.
Yeah. I know
I
that.
didn't
Well, I
know.
was going to ask. I've never been to a restaurant that
No.
strips, so I didn't know if I would just assume there's a naked restaurant, which I've been to, but when you're serving the food, you're dressed and then you would do a show.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
Okay.
wait, you've been to a naked restaurant?
I was on the like in Florida.
Okay. Anyway, we'll talk.
Wow. I've
Yes.
never been to that.
A naked cafe.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody's naked? Did you get naked to eat?
Obviously.
Okay, cool.
I ate like this.
Good
You're full of shit.
you. I know.
Anyway.
It's my dream. But no, actually, I have been to one. I did go to
Interesting.
one. But there was no strip show. So anyways.
Yeah. It was really neat because the waitresses at this strip club, we all had like our signature song. So when it came on, the regulars would know, oh, Annie's getting on stage now. And it had a weird stage that was really old that you would go on to the stage, which was like floor level, and then step on a pedal and it would raise the stage up really, really high, like above people's heads. And so the guys in front row actually had to look up.
Interesting. Interesting. We got it. We can't go any further without knowing what the song was.
My song,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
used a few different songs, but I think the one that I used the longest was, I think it was Respect by Aretha Franklin.
All right. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It had attitude.
Yeah, it does.
Definitely does.
The best thing I found working there was when I would be serving a table that had never been there before, and they would just be like kind of dismissing me or not really looking at me or kind of treating me like the whatever waitress.
Yeah.
And a half hour later, I would get on stage and do a show. And then after that, they just wanted to talk to me. They wanted to know me. They wanted, interact. And they took a second look at me. And then the tips go
Oh,
up.
perfect.
I'm sure tipping works there.
Was there somebody stripping all the time? During.
Yeah, well, they had the regular dancer lineup as well. So there
Oh.
was shows going on. Usually every 20 minutes to a half hour, a dancer would do an 18-minute show. And then in between the dancers' shows, they would get us up for one song.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm just my thought was there ever anybody that came in was eating and then were surprised by the whoops somebody on stage? But if they were going on all the time,
Yeah.
he
I
probably
think
caught it.
people knew they were coming to a strip club, but they were usually surprised when the waitresses got on the stage.
Sure.
Yeah, that would surprise me, but I didn't know there was such a thing to be even to begin with. I mean, I've been to strip joints where they had a buffet, which was hot dogs and in those roller things and donuts on the table. So I've been there. That's about as classy as I've ever seen in a strip joint.
That's
So
the way Wisconsin does it.
yeah.
Rotisserie dogs.
Sounds
Yeah.
fun. Yeah.
It was. And that was about noon on the start of a big old guy's day. So it was a good start.
I've eaten a lot of strip club food, let me tell
Yeah.
you.
I was curious
Especially,
before we started this if we were gonna get curly Annie or straight Annie.
yeah, it's usually curly,
I
but
love the curly hair.
recently,
It's
thank
beautiful.
you.
But it also you look beautiful with the straight hair too. So I was curious what we were gonna get.
Yeah. Today I'm curly,
Yeah.
and
Okay.
I have my 50th birthday in just over a week, and I'm gonna go with my natural curls.
Perfect. And
Yeah.
we'll talk about your big bash coming up,
For
but
sure.
we got it in. We got all excited about I think about a strip
Yeah.
restaurant.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of went for a while on
Yeah,
that.
I was telling you about when I started stripping.
Yeah, so
Yeah. So I went and saw the agent, and he told me I needed a blanket, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, I don't have any of that stuff and I have no money. And he said, well, you can go and do private dancing.
Oh.
But you know Tina Turner's private dancer?
Yeah.
So I didn't know what that was, but I went to the strip club, the local strip club, that night, one of them. There were so many back then. It
Oh,
was
really?
wonderful. Yes,
Yeah.
just wonderful. Now there's hardly any. This one's closed now. It was called the Marble Arch. And I went
Oh.
in there and they said, so you're going to sell table dances and private shows. And they had a little spot off to the side. And this was very new in Vancouver at the time.
Okay.
But very common out east, but very new in Vancouver. So
Nice.
it was kind of a novelty thing. And that night I think I made like almost $300. And at the time, because I was working part time for minimum wage in retail, and I think minimum wage was like $7.
Yeah.
I was making less than that on my paychecks every 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, it was so I was barely getting by. That's how desperate I was. I was stealing my cheese and my razors because I thought they were too expensive.
Those are pricey items. That's
Cheese can be expensive.
Wait, before we go any further, I gotta say I'm a big Motley Crue fan, and in Girls, 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 they talk about the Marble Arch, and I had no idea where that ever was. So
Vancouver, BC, Canada.
there
There you
we go.
go.
Yeah, the Marble Arch. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Marble Arch.
It was an awesome night. I made so much money, and the next day I quit my job, and then I just started stripping, and I loved it.
So
Awesome.
it kind of started as the necessity, I need the money, and then but quickly grew into I love doing this. I'm not doing this just for money. I'm doing it because I actually enjoy doing it.
I've been going to the gym lately, and I go on the elliptical, and there's TVs just lined up in front of me, and there's all these men engaging in manly sports, their bodies crashing into each other and the big hugs and yes, and it's just there's so much passion, and you can tell that there's a rush they get from being in front of the audience.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the same thing for any performer. And I definitely feel like as an exotic dancer, I would get that rush in a really packed club with everyone
Oh, I bet.
hooting and hollering and clapping and putting money on the stage. It was such an incredible rush. And I love dancing and always have. So it was a perfect job for me.
Yeah. So how long did you do the private dancing before you went up on stage?
Not very long. My girlfriend, who gave me the phone numbers to become a stripper, she phoned my house because back then we had landlines.
Oh, sure.
And she phoned my apartment one night and asked for me, and my roommate told her that I was stripping at the Marble Arch. And I hadn't told her yet. I hadn't told anyone. My roommate knew because he was my
Yeah.
roommate. And so she phoned the Marble Arch and got me on the phone in the DJ booth, which was so crazy. And she said, "I'm going to pay for your plane ticket and fly you out to Winnipeg, and I'll where she was working at the time, and I'll teach you how to do stage, and I'll give you some costumes and music and help set you up."
Oh,
So
wow.
I flew out to Winnipeg only a few weeks after I started, and I did the jam, which is where they you do like the same show all day, but in different clubs, and you have a driver that drives you from club to club to club.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. So it
That's
sounds
a
like it's
busy day.
more of a, at this point, I don't know if strip joints in Canada have gotten to like strip joints in the States now. It's nothing more than a girl walking around and flashing her tits in your face, begging for a, you know what I mean? When you're saying like it was kind of a show, like you were, yeah. That was,
Showgirl.
it was so much
Showgirl.
more fun then.
Yes.
We
Yeah.
still have a very strong showgirl culture in BC where I live, but it's definitely moving. Like the private show dancing has really moved in. It's everywhere for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as you said, that the strip joints have gone from plentiful to a few. Is there a reason for that, do you feel?
I think there's been a shift, in, and maybe you guys noticed it too. I don't know what it's like there, but I feel like there's been a shift in political correctness,
Yeah.
which really bugs me. I feel like a lot of men have been shamed into submission.
Yeah.
The clubs, I think we're just starting to lose money because people. A lot of the things that kind of made the clubs so wonderful back in the day became illegal. Like it became illegal to have a beer on your lunch break when you're working in construction. And it became, extremely frowned upon to exploit women by going to strip clubs and giving them all your money. Like,
Yeah.
I don't get it. But,
Yeah.
it's
Their
just,
money, they can do what they want with it.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it definitely, we definitely have gotten more PC here as well.
Yes.
And, but I do feel like slowly the strings are starting to be cut a little bit. Like we're starting to go back to being able to say and do some of the things that we lost in the past decade or so, you know.
It always does,
I
but
agree.
and it'll take someone to have to reopen a club or something, but
yeah.
Oh, I have fantasies about opening my own
Oh,
club.
yeah.
Was gonna lead into or someone
Maybe
that had
we'll see.
experience that could give a
Yeah,
place for dancers to come to learn and explore from there. So there you
there's quite a few people now. I mean, when I started dancing, there were no pole dance lessons. There was no like you like I got mentored by the girl who I was working with that night.
Yeah.
They just said, "Here, please show her around, she's new, and teach her what to do. She's never done this before." So, "This is your first time, really?" "Yeah, it is."
Wow.
And then when I showed back up the next night, then she explained to me that I needed to shave it all.
All
I
right.
mean,
Well, that was back then. I think
that's
now
how
it
naive I was,
But now you'd be okay with it.
Nowadays, I think it's back.
Yeah.
Well, I had a little bit of a mullet pussy thing going on. It was like all trimmed up in front, but then I didn't even think that, there might be hair back there. Like, damn, I should have pulled out a mirror or something.
I suppose, yeah. If you're clean, you probably want to get as clean. Yeah. It's the stragglers that
But isn't this the beauty of the girl, a mentor is to tell you the stuff that you just don't think about, right?
And I agree that hair is coming back. I have so many friends, younger friends, especially in the sex industry, who are growing their arm or don't shave their armpit
Yeah.
hair and just have like nicely trimmed bush. And it's very, very different for me, very different from how I was raised.
We
But
had a
then
get.
back in when I first started, it was cool to have tan lines too.
Oh
Remember?
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, tan lines were
Were a thing. We had a guest that her name is the Bush Queen.
Yeah.
A while back, so she there was no trimming there.
No, not a bit.
It's very like in thing now, and yeah. You know, a lot of people love it. A lot of guys love it, apparently.
Yep, for sure.
Well, flashback to my high school days.
Right, right.
See, that's what I grew up with, you know.
That's yeah, 1,000%. That's yep. That was the first time, second time, third time.
Yeah, right. For a lot of years.
So well, back when I was growing up, there was no pornographic internet or nothing.
Right.
So, you know, how do I know what it's supposed to be?
Right. I know.
There's no education for women.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't much for us either. We learned from the boys above us who would teach us, you know.
The ones that would tell us.
Yeah, the older boys, just handing it down.
And you just make mistakes, and I made plenty.
A lot of mistakes.
So, Winnipeg, you went to Winnipeg with your friend, and she showed you some moves.
Yeah.
Did she show you, like, the dance moves? Yeah, she did.
We were, like,
that blanket. Here's what you do.
She did, and she gave me some costumes and some music. It was still just a hellish couple of weeks. Crawling is really hard on your knees if you don't do it a lot. It like makes them all bruised and swollen. So that's an interesting part of starting to be a stripper. And then the agents that you know, they were just so ruthless. I was in so much pain, and they would be from my knees, and they'd be calling me, and they'd be like, you better go do this contest tonight, or you're not going to be able to have any more shows for the rest of the week. Well, how am I going to pay for my plane ticket home?
Wow. So at this point now, you've put all your marbles in this basket. This is what you're doing full time.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you go?
I'm making way more money than I was before.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So where you go from stripping, where does the erotic entrepreneur come in then? You at this point, you decide this is what I'm going to do with my life, and this is how, you know.
No.
what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know. I was just so grateful to be able to not worry about money anymore. I'd grown up poor, and then I'd struggled to get a job that I could just pay my rent and pay for my food and, you know, have some luxuries, some, you know, leeway. So I would take a lot of weeks off and go camping and buy rounds of drinks for my friends. You know, I bought lots of cool costumes, and I didn't really accumulate any money. I didn't plan to create a big career out of it. I didn't get my boobs done. None of that. I just kind of saw it as a job and wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I went in and out of university, and then I started having babies.
Okay.
So I popped out three of those.
Oh, jeez.
In between, I was dancing, and I started doing sex worker activism too. So that really like locked me into the community and got me into all of that. And then I went online with OnlyFans and even did a sensual massage. So I've kind of done a lot of different, almost everything.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it. So
you got away from it for a while and lived a normal life and came back to it. Okay.
Yeah, I even had some square jobs. Like, I was a marketing manager for a nonprofit. I was a marketing manager for a motorcycle dealership. That was really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always went back to the sex industry because it felt like I felt home there. Everywhere else, I felt like I had to watch what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I felt like I grew up in the strip clubs because once I started stripping, I went back there for over 17 years. I worked in and out of the strip clubs as a stripper. And then I went back as a strip club massager for a while.
Oh,
where I started doing intimacy work. So I've done so much of it. And the strip clubs were always there for me. And the people in that industry were always there for me.
Did you feel you missed like we talked about before? The attention,
their,
you know, all that cheering. And I mean, that's gotta be a rush, as you said. So did you ever sit at your job at the Mike motorcycle shop and go, oh, I miss that. The attention.
I missed it the most when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh,
I would be pregnant. The first pregnancy was the hardest because I left stripping to have a baby. And so I was working in regular jobs during the pregnancy, and I was getting bigger and chubbier, and I hated my jobs. I was waitressing. I'd gone from a stripping waitress to a pregnant waitress in a different place.
Now
But did I
you
write a
had
big
experience.
book? Yeah, now I had experience.
Sure.
And so it was just I missed. That was the most I ever missed it. But I honestly, every time I've ever left the industry, I missed it.
Yeah.
I
Sure.
missed the camaraderie of the people. That's one thing about like doing intimacy work, like sensual massage or full service sex workers. It's a more isolating type of work. Whereas if you work in adult film with other people, like if you're not just doing all your own independent work, but
Yeah.
if you're working in adult film with other people, or you're working in a strip club, or you're working in a massage parlor or somewhere where there's more people working, then you have your people, you know. It's not as isolating.
Yeah, for
So that's
sure.
one thing I don't believe we have here is a massage in the strip joint.
No.
So you're sweet.
Oh yeah. Well,
Yeah.
I only did the neck and shoulders.
So you're just walking around to the guys at the at front in front row. What are they called? Front row?
Gyno row.
They
What?
and you're massaging shoulders and neck for these guys?
Well, yeah, you got to look at like this the stage in the
Right?
restaurant.
Actually,
Yeah.
the interesting thing I found when I was working in the strip club doing massages was that a lot of the guys who would go to strip clubs were very, what's the word I'm looking for? They're just lacking intimacy or lacking touch, so that the combination of
Lacking social skills, maybe.
that too, but and that's probably the cause of their lack of intimacy for a lot of them.
Sure.
I'd start giving them a massage, and then I push my boobs into their back, breathe on their neck, their ear, some fingernails in the hair, and then kind of give them a little bit of a hug, and sometimes they would break down crying.
Oh. I love
I
it.
know. Okay.
I can see that if you're lonely in life, and yes, that part of it would be more enticing than, I mean, you can see a naked girl everywhere, right? Like that part of it would be, yeah.
It's different. It,
Yeah.
yeah, it, I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you went on to write a book about your sensual massages. And now, is it all fiction or is it kind of combination fiction, nonfiction, or stories that are
Oh, okay. So the Tales of a Sensual Masseuse, that's
Yeah.
13 erotic stories. They are all fiction.
Okay.
However, of course, I had to draw from my sexual experience in
Sure.
life to write them because they're very explicit.
Yes, they are.
Did we mention at the beginning she's an author?
Probably not. We
We didn't mention that.
some
Because we're going to dive into authoring
Yeah,
now.
yes, we're going to do the author part now.
As we see the book behind her, one of the two.
Yes, that's one of the two. The Tales of a Sensual Masseuse is a collection of erotic stories that started when I was writing a blog
Okay.
to attract my massage clients.
Oh, okay.
So
Interesting.
I wrote erotic stories from the perspective of like these erotic situations that actually happened, but didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then I always had to put a disclaimer at the end, so that people would know that this will never happen when you come for a massage, because I really only offer a massage. But in the stories, they would always turn into like amazing sexual
Right.
experiences. And,
Yeah. Which I by reading it from a masseuse, you would think, hey, wait a minute. So yeah, the disclaimer I guess makes sense, but because there
That's why
are.
I say experience her fantasies.
Yes. Yeah,
Okay.
there you go.
Excuse
So
me, erotic.
what exactly is sensual massage in Canada? Are we talking the happy ending or is yeah? And is it legal?
It is okay. So hilarious. I did a speech for my Toastmasters group just like a couple months ago. It was called "If Realtors Had the Same Laws as Sex Workers."
Oh.
And basically, it's very weird. It's very weird how the laws work in Canada. It's basically, oh, I'm not sure if it's similar in the United States actually, but we have the Nordic laws, which they criminalize the client, not the sex worker.
Oh, okay.
So you are allowed to sell it, but you're not allowed to buy it. You're allowed to advertise it, but none of the advertising platforms are allowed to post your ad. We get around that though, because there's so many websites that are willing to break the law or find loopholes or find ways, you know.
Sure.
Okay.
But
Interesting.
it's been a big, huge disruption of the industry every time one of the major websites gets closed down, like Craigslist, Backpage, different main advertising sites for sex workers. Whenever they get shut down, they actually cause a lot of harm. People don't realize how harmful it is.
Yeah.
Because all of these people who got all of their customers from this particular website, now they suddenly can't have access to their clients, and they can't make the money that they need to maintain the lifestyle that they've built.
Yeah.
And so now they're desperate. They have mortgage payments, they have car payments, they have children's lessons, whatever it is they have that
Right.
they've gotten comfortable meeting the demand with their work through this particular advertising,
Yeah.
website. And then when it's suddenly taken away, now you've got people like, how do I find my clients? Then you see us out in the bars or in on the street. And
Yeah. You're starting from scratch. You're starting from square one every
scratch,
time.
but you're
Yeah.
not, you don't have your regulars, the ones that you trust, that you can trust,
Yeah.
have a history with.
Yeah. Is there, did you ever fear that? When you're talking about the trust with clients that you, do you ever have any scary situations? I mean, obviously that's one of the things you worry about. Is there anything like that?
I had a weird situation, one particular very weird situation where a client showed up and he came to my got to my door, and he was extremely sketchy, and he was like, oh, I think I'm having a panic attack. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I don't think I could do this. Who's that guy? Who's that Chinese guy in your lobby? And I said, oh, I think that's probably my landlord. He hangs out in the lobby at the beginning of the month to collect rent checks because we have a lot of old people in this building.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was so like upset and weirded out by the Chinese guy that looked at him and watched him walk through the lobby. And so I got
Yeah.
this weird, sick feeling like this guy maybe was not to be trusted, like if he was that paranoid.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, okay, fine. So he left. And I closed the door, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? And a few minutes later, I got a text message from him saying something about, your disgusting building with your creepy landlord and all this shit. And then I shit you not, that was 5 years ago, I think. And I still occasionally hear from the guy today, like, still get the occasional text message or email from him saying something about the Chinese guy in my lobby and my shitty old apartment building. Like, he's just,
Well, there might be some mental health issues there.
yeah, like, and usually he starts a message with a text message. He'll use a text app and he'll say, I'd like to book an hour and a half appointment. And then I'll say, sure, send me a face photo. And, this
Yeah.
is my screening process. And then he'll send me a picture of his dick. And then I'm like, oh, it's this guy again. Just,
I recognize that
See,
penis.
you know what? Sorry.
never saw his penis, but I know like it's this guy that just keeps harassing me. Like,
Yeah,
it's like,
sorry about that. I get mixed up once in a while.
yeah.
Sometimes you lead with the penis. I don't know.
Never lead with the penis. Gotcha.
I'm not as opposed to dick pics as most women.
Yeah. Are dicks beautiful or not?
I mean, some are beautiful.
Okay.
Fair
Okay, fair
I
enough.
have a fascination with dicks, and I Sometimes I wonder if women are exaggerating how many random dick pics they get sent, or if I'm putting off don't send me dick pic vibes, because why don't I get more dick pics?
Oh, you're going to after this.
Boom, the floodgates are open.
Well,
Every angle you could think of.
would you like them? I assume you would like them sent to your OnlyFans.
That
would be the best.
Yeah. Where do we find? Well, we're not done, but where do we find you on OnlyFans? Let's as long as we're talking about this.
On OnlyFans, I'm TNT Annie.
Do you dick ratings?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. There you go. So that's a high point of your.
I even do dick poems.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm a poet.
Now, you do a like an exclusive poem for each dick?
Yes. Well, they have to pay right. They have to pay
Okay.
right for
Oh,
that.
absolutely.
Okay. And then
Absolutely. But it's not the same poem over and over.
it also depends. Excuse me. Yes, I do have poems that I'll go back and look at for similar types of dicks, but then I will edit to match specifically.
All right. I'll
Yeah,
be. That's intriguing.
I know. I'm going to be checking that out. I want a poem about my dick.
it's fun, right? Well, yeah,
I'm going to make sure the missus is okay with that, and I'm going to get a poem for my dick.
we might even have to frame it.
And then it depends on if you want it on video or if you just want me to send it by voice or if you want to send it by just message, text message. So,
That's really a good idea. We both need to get dick poems and put them.
frame them.
I like it.
I got a note. I put a note. Dick poem. If my kid walks in and sees that, they'll be like, "What, Dad? Dad? Dad?" I gotta warn my children.
What do your kids think of what you do, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, long ago, they just have said, "We just don't watch anymore, Dad." And I warned them because they all have keys to my place. They're all older. My
Okay.
youngest is 20, so they're older, but. They randomly come in and at all times, and I just say, "It's all for the podcast." If you see something,
Penis pumps sitting on the table, sex toys, bongs.
you see anything on there, just remember it's for the podcast.
That's
Yeah.
awesome.
And I
Do
have love.
you guys smoke bongs during your podcast? Wow.
Not every once in a while, we do a second podcast where it's more about cannabis, and
Oh, really?
We have on that, but this one, no, not really. This one, we pretty much just drink. But
Are you a partaker?
I have my doobie right
Okay.
I knew better than to ask. I knew from
I just
the
wanted to.
get-go. Yeah, are you a sativa or an indica,
I'm
or
an
both?
indica.
Indica. Okay. So do you smoke to kind of chill? Is it, I mean, is it your end of the day kind of, or does it? Okay. It's your all day kind of. Oh, all right. Nice.
Well, it's my morning before I exercise at the gym, and
Okay.
it is I love it for creative projects. So I
Yeah.
love to write, smoke a joint, and do some writing
Yeah.
or work on editing a video or work on something creative.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Alcohol not as much is isn't the best thing for that,
Nope.
because I might think I'm brilliant and then the next day I'm like, what is this shit?
Yep.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. We
Very much the
a few
same thing.
times. A few times. Yeah.
Anytime I got to do anything, if I get stuck trying to write a summary for one of the podcasts or something, I just smoke a little bit, and 10 minutes later, I'm writing what I find to be a masterpiece. So
Yeah.
now, Which, if we get the dick poems, then we would obviously expect you to smoke, to be creative about our dicks.
Yeah. Can we insist on a little indica prior to the poem?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It's pretty much a given.
Good.
Oh,
Do you have clients that will or have asked for to be mean to them when they send you to rate their dicks?
not
And how do you?
yet, thank God. I've
Oh,
had
okay.
clients though, I've had a few massage clients that I think were just looking for an inexpensive fetish, provider, and they would try to piss me off until I would get mad at them, like
Okay.
people who like have a fetish for annoying you,
Yeah,
that's their thing, and they want to get you to the point where and I won't give it to them. I will not give it to
Okay.
them. But one time, just one time, I just at the end couldn't handle it anymore, and I got kind of lost it. But I'm just like,
Canadians are
I
so nice.
cannot handle those guys. I have the utmost respect for people who do fetish work and
Yeah,
domination.
true. We've had a
Honestly.
few on, and you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're saints.
They
But
are the most compassionate people.
and I think we're the same. There's no judgment, but they're serving a great purpose. You know, people
Absolutely.
that they can comfortably get their kink out and not be, and, no, unless it is to be shamed with it, they can get their kink out and not have to worry about
Yeah.
being judged.
And it's so interesting. I was at a sex worker conference earlier in the year, and I attended a kink and trauma workshop and found it so fascinating
Yeah.
that a lot of people can actually work through their trauma through kink. That was just
Oh.
so, and then because I learned so much in this workshop and talking to people because I was so fascinated, I started to realize that I have some of those kinks on like a less kind of
Okay.
crazy level, but there are I like to be called, a dirty slut
Yeah.
when I'm in the throes of passion, and that's humiliation kink,
Sure.
which
You
is
do.
interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
But I never thought of it that way. And part of what I learned, I don't know if I'm paraphrasing from what someone else told me, but part of the reason people like humiliation kink is because they want the person that they're being intimate with to be intimate with them while acknowledging their flaws. And so, like, a chubby girl will want to be called,
Yeah.
things to do with her size, and a guy with a small dick will want to be called things to do with the size of his dick. And it affirms that he's still worthwhile to be intimate with because this person is saying these things but still engaging in intimacy with them.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes
Makes some
sense.
sense. Yeah. Never thought of that. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to
I know.
think about that.
Blew my mind.
About mine. We want to, this isn't therapy. I'm not going to talk about it now.
Do it. Do it.
We'll talk about it later. So, going back to the workers and their source of income being taken away by websites going down or papers or whatever that may be. Now, with your Naked Truth, that you started, does that give them an avenue to, not just learn about the industry, but what's the word? Find places,
Promote the
find
business.
clients, or
That was one of the reasons we started that classified section on the Naked Truth. We call it Naked List. And we started it for two reasons. One was to because we've developed a relationship with the Vancouver police to have a lowest level of enforcement towards sex work
okay.
in general. So even though sex workers aren't criminalized, we really are, because there are aspects of our work that are criminalized. For instance, our clients are criminalized.
Sure.
So we have these issues. So sex worker activists in Vancouver that have advocated with police to have like this lowest level of enforcement where they only enforce laws when there's something violent or exploitative going on,
Yeah.
and not to just hold stings, for instance, to just randomly pick up clients who are, responding to ads, that kind of thing. So nothing like that happens in Vancouver anymore. So we've built those relationships with the police to get to that point, and that's
Moving to
amazing.
Vancouver. That's huge.
Yeah, so that's why we felt safe to create our classified website, and so far, so good. They haven't tried to shut us down. And
Nice.
the other part of
That's
the story.
huge to be able to work with them, and how open were they when you first went to them?
I mean, it's a sad story because we had basically murdered and missing women for years in the downtown east side of Vancouver. And there were reports and complaints about a particular person But they were never taken very seriously, and it's believed that the police didn't take it seriously because most of the women were indigenous and they were all sex workers. So after the serial killer was caught, there was a huge inquiry into what had gone wrong and how, like, over 50 women had gone missing.
Oh, jeez.
They didn't find the remains of all of them, but they found the remains of many.
Wow.
And it was that horrible, horrible thing that caused police to start listening to sex workers and indigenous groups and other people. And so there were committees formed, and then there was conversation going back. And then sex worker activists, not myself, but ones that I know that I really admire, have just made sure that the conversation has kept going over the years between the people that they made connections with during that time. So people, because of all of what happened, the Vancouver police are very sensitive to not making the same mistakes again, and they can be kind of like held accountable and forced into listening to us, you know.
Yeah. Refreshing though that
Good.
it sucks that something bad had to happen, but it is nice that a lesson was actually learned and something done, and it's not just the same old. So I
Yeah,
have to,
we'd
unfortunately,
love
it's
to make that happen across Canada. We'd love to, kind of like model that with all the police departments, but
right.
that's something that's just so much work and takes so much money. So
I can't even
we'll get
imagine.
there.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And then
Keep chugging along.
when you're done there, move into the States.
Come
Because
on down. I was saying come down by us. That's what I meant. Not
oh, you were giving
putting
it a
it
thumbs
down.
up?
I was not giving the thumbs down. I thought of that after. Come on down to the
You
States.
guys
Because
have some incredible sex worker activists in the United States too, like unbelievable women and men and trans that I just admire.
well, here's
So,
what we don't have
wow.
is legal sensual massage. As somebody who enjoys it, sure it would be nice because I would imagine with a little bit of legality to it, you get beautiful women such as yourself willing to do it. I don't want to say that,
Yeah, what do you want to say?
there's not the women that do it here
Wait,
aren't
what?
all that attractive. Let's just and I'm sure because it's, there's no legality to it. Nobody who, everybody's afraid to do it. So let's
So
bring it
you're
here to
so maybe a lot more of the providers there are doing it in spite of the legality because they're more desperate. Is that what you're saying? Or
Yes, yeah. Yeah, just a lot more desperation in it and when yeah,
yeah,
with you know.
and desperation is unattractive.
It
I
is.
found it really hard in the strip clubs to make money when I really needed it.
You're at
I get that, yeah. When you're just having fun and enjoying it sure reflects people that want to pay. I mean, I'm gonna pay,
Right.
somebody that's more enjoy having fun than
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
which I've been both.
Definitely, yeah, definitely encountered both. Yes.
I've been shamed into giving them dollars.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So let's talk about the book that made you a number one best-selling author, and it's right behind you. The
Which congratulations, that's awesome.
Thank you. I worked hard for that.
That
And
is
yeah,
awesome.
I had to like be extremely face my fears and put myself out there and ask everyone I knew to buy my book all on the same day.
Well,
And
that's number one. You really put yourself out there.
it was so scary. But the thing was, is when I started doing sensual massage, I wanted a book like that. I looked for one. I read a few different business-oriented books, like there's one called Thriving in Sex Work by Lola Divina. Such a good book. So good. Like everything you could hope for to kind of support your mental health in the industry and have someone you could relate to, especially because, like what I said, especially if you work in intimacy work, most people are independent and they're very isolated. So to have that book and have someone understand you is amazing. But I couldn't find a book that would tell me how to set it up, how
Yeah,
to do it,
sure.
what kind of things do I need, what kind of linens do I need, what, how do I screen my clients, And then there's kind of this inner need in me to always try to help people with their mindset. So I have a whole chapter on manifesting money.
So what kind of linens do you need?
Well, it depends on how you set up your space. So I did my massages on a bed, and I didn't like to change the fitted sheet over and over. So I would put a nice blanket over top of the fitted sheet, and then I would put a sheet over that blanket, and then a pillow on top of that. And then all I would have to do is change the sheets, and then the blanket at the end of the day. But the sheets, and I mean, I've always worked very, we call it low volume. So I would only do one or two massages a day usually. If I did, that wouldn't even be every day, which is why I did this work, because gave me more time to write and spend time with my children.
And the name of the book is The Business Bible for the Erotic Entrepreneur. And I gotta tell you, just from I didn't read it all cover to cover, but I've skimmed through it and picked out a lot of the stuff. And I think it even works. I was saying to him before we started, it works for people in what we're doing as well. There's a lot of that stuff in there that I was seeing that would work for us as well. So it's not just, I mean, I think it's for anybody kind of in social media or, trying to expand a social media brand and that kind of thing. I mean, obviously there are some specifics, like you said, types of linen, but there's also enough where it's just to talking about the business. So.
Yeah, it could be used for almost anyone starting their own independent business. There's quite a bit of good information in there about filing taxes and marketing, which is one of my favorite things to do,
Huge.
obviously.
Yep.
So I just loved writing it. It was a series of kind of chapters that I wrote here and there, and then put it all into a book. And then I was like, what's missing? And so I put all together what I thought, and I think I'll definitely have updates in the future. I've had a
Nice.
little bit of feedback. For instance, when I was asking clients for their face photo, I would just get a face photo. But I recently had a friend suggest that you get a face photo with them holding something, so you know it's a face photo of them recently.
Yeah,
And I thought
sure.
that's a great idea, and so it could be added to the book.
Sure,
It's
sure.
just a suggestion. If people want to, they can, right?
Sure. So I think a huge part in my thought is now that it's out there, people can buy it. Do your children know what you do? And are, do they, are you, do you, sh did you show them the book?
Well, I have about 100 of them si sitting in at the
Well,
front door of my house right now because my event is coming up and I'll be selling them there. But yes, so my 12-year-old doesn't know about the sensual massage.
sure.
My older children, I have an 18-year-old and a 23-year-old, and they know. My 23-year-old daughter is absolutely gorgeous and stunning, and she actually throws it around in her head every so often to try stripping herself.
Okay.
And I don't know if she will or not, but
And what are mom's thoughts on that? Are you go for it, or is there a little trepidation?
the only thing that I am concerned about is just that, it feels like there's just a lot more gang members out there right now. But I don't know if that's just because I'm old. If I just think that because I'm old and it's just the same as it always was, I don't know. But I just worry about that kind of stuff, about her being just in the wrong place at the wrong time. She's my child.
Obviously,
But
yes. You always do.
as far as her taking her clothes off for money, I say flaunt it while you got it.
So if she
And
came to you and said, "Mom, be my mentor," she couldn't have, I mean, what better mentor is it than you?
I give her all the advice I could possibly give at any time to help her be safe and live an exciting and wonderful life. We're so close. She gets me to help her break up with her boyfriends, like to tell her what to say. And I'm lucky. My kids are so amazing. They love me unconditionally, but I think part of it is that because I went through a lot of health challenges in my life, and they were there. They they went through the feelings of what if I lose my mother? I can't imagine my life without her, et cetera, et cetera. That, children, young children can't imagine. Well, most children, even any age, can't imagine losing their parent. And that made a lot for all of us in my family, made a lot of the little things kind of meaningless. Also, my children are so creative, and they see how much creativity I get to have in my work and my business. So I just try to be like age appropriate, and I don't go into details.
Sure, of course.
My
Understood.
daughter and I can get pretty detailed sometimes,
Right.
because she's like an adult woman, and we're like
Right.
fine. But obviously, I just kind of am general, speak generally when I speak to
Sure.
my son and my 12-year-old daughter. My 12-year-old daughter knows mommy sells naked pictures online.
All right. That's enough.
And
There you
she
go.
had to find that out because she kept walking up, and I'd be like closing the windows on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
They'd find out, they catch on, so you might as well just be upfront with him.
And I also never wanted my children to feel like mom lied to me my whole life.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well,
So
and
I've
when you're
always
not,
been.
if you, when you're not willing to be honest and open about it, it almost puts a shame to it, and a shame
Yes.
that an unnecessary shame. So, yeah, I get it. It's a struggle. I'm sure it's not an easy thing to cope with all the time,
But now that it's out there,
yeah.
is it easier and can
Yeah,
talk about
I
it?
mean, the hardest thing, honestly, is when my younger kids, because it doesn't happen with my older kids so much, but when my youngest, my 12-year-old, gets a new friend and I meet their parents, and their parents are like, "So, what do you do?"
Sure.
I don't say I do sex work. I say, "Oh, I'm an author speaker," or, "I'm just starting a new business as
Yeah.
a fearless living coach."
Right. There you go. Yeah. But I like to just quick say,
Yeah.
yeah, I had to break up with one of my daughter's boyfriends and bring him all of his stuff back. And I've done it twice for her.
Good for you. What a good dad you are. Ah, that's all the feels. I love it. And that's what we're supposed to be. I think the secret to parenting is to be your child's friend. I know that that's like against everyone else, but to me, they're children for like what, 18 years of their life? Or obviously, we're all children until we're like what, 40?
I
But,
still am. Still
right?
am.
I just turned 50, still a child.
Exactly. But they're children till they're 18, and then they're adults, and then you have an equal relationship with them for the rest of your lives. And that's such a much longer part of our lives than the small one, where we're ordering our children around. And I was raised with authoritarian parents, and I thought that that was how I was going to be, but I ended up being a parent who really focused on creating an environment where my kids could feel like they could talk to me about anything.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with
And
you.
they sometimes told me things I really wish they fucking wouldn't.
There's always that end. But you always, as my thing was, I always don't make an expression when they told me something I didn't want to hear. Don't react. Don't react.
Don't be mad.
Don't be mad. Don't be ashamed. Nothing. Just don't react.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and yeah, I gotta.
It's coming up for you, buddy. I got through it.
I don't like to compliment him ever, but I will just this once. I have an 8-year-old. I waited a long time to have a kid, so I have an 8-year-old, and I've always said if she turns out half as good as his kids, I'll be happy. So
That's sweet.
yeah, he's
So to
he.
me, that tells me that you treat your children like human beings, autonomous human beings who, can make decisions for themselves and can make mistakes and still be loved, and I feel like the whole
Absolutely.
authoritarian parenting doesn't make a child feel, it feels like conditional love, and yeah, I think like if I had been raised the way I raised my children, oh man, I would be like, right now.
It. So let's talk about the birthday party. And unfortunately, it will have already happened by the time this gets out, but You've got a big birthday coming out. I'll let you say the number. I'm not going to say the number. I know better, but
she is turning 30.
You know, I'm not afraid to admit my age. A lot of people in my industry say they're younger than they are. And I even had clients say to me, you know, you could post your age as younger. And I was like, that's nice. But, you know, honestly, I like to appeal to a more mature audience anyway. I mean, there's always the older woman lovers, like the young guys love older women, of course. And I get a lot of those guys because I think I make people feel safe, you know, and young guys are probably a little intimidated. But I love my little old guys. I just love my little old guys. And I love mature men that, you know, have something interesting to share with me and, you know, care a little more about, the things that go into making intimacy really special, like looking at each other and smiling and conversation and just the hugging and just the stuff that a lot of people miss out on in their marriage. You know?
Yeah. I missed out it in two of them. I'm going to try it for a third one real soon, but I missed out on two of them. So.
You know, it's so funny. I feel like when you're with someone for a long time, you become so natural, familiar. It's just not as exciting. You don't go after it as much. You don't try to win them as much. And it's kind of like a natural progression of relationships. And then if you really want to bring the spice back into the relationship, you have to do something drastic. You have to like break up.
Right.
You know, and then you like have makeup sex or you have to like send them to a sex worker so that they can like come back, like, you know, back in love with you. And there's so many things that you can do to shock it back into your relationship. But if you get too comfortable for too long with just the familiar do of the relationship, then sex just falls away. And come back to me.
Yeah. Sex is a huge part. And I think when it does go away, they miss it, but it's hard to get back into it. You got to make sure it doesn't go away. It's a huge part to keep you intimate, I think.
And it's been like for me, because of my health issues, I've had to go long periods of time without sex. And I'm like, so horny, especially when I'm like at the gym in the morning. I'm on the elliptical and I'm watching all these gorgeous men in sports. And I'm like, probably got a goofy grin on my face. Everyone's like, what's wrong with that lady?
she really likes working out. She
likes the elliptical a lot.
Her nipples sure are hard.
Well, I think it's freeing to talk about it too, you know, just to say, yeah, I get horny. Yeah, you're 50. You're going to be 50. You still get horny. And God bless you for that, you know.
Maybe it's a matter of use it or lose it.
Yes.
It is. It 100%.
100% it is. And that's kind of what I was saying before. You know, if you just get in that humdrum, it's just hard. You just lose it.
It is easy to fall into that and for it to just go away. And if you don't make it a important part of life, you know, you have to.
I'll just like to force my guy to have some intimacy with me.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not like that he doesn't want to, but you know, he works all day, he's tired, it's the end of the day, like we have to fit it in. He's an evening sex person. I'm done at the end of the day. I get up 5 in the morning to go to the gym. I'm a morning person. I'm like, let's do it before you go to work, honey. He's like, well, I got shit to do. I can't get in that headspace. So we have to like schedule time where we will have some time in the middle of the day together.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we both work for ourselves. And then I will give him a long back massage just to get us both, you know. And it's like someone has to take the lead and really force the foreplay, force the long connecting kind of experience and the mood music and the lighting, things that most people don't do. You know, it's like they just like pause the TV, want to have sex,
I don't even pause
Right?
it.
It's like
Okay.
just listen to it in the background.
Yeah, but it's true. I
As
and
long as
I
you're not watching TV while you're doing it, then
right.
it's okay.
I do like
But if
that
it's
though.
a really good program, it's hard not to.
Yeah. Can
Right?
we tell it's over?
Can we both face the TV? I do like what you're saying though about it's okay that maybe one of you has to force the intimacy and one of you has to get it going. And it doesn't have to be the same one every time. You know, this time it's you, the next time it's him. And also I'm very jealous because who wouldn't love nice long back rubs
Oh,
in the middle of the day that
no
go lead into
kidding.
sex?
No kidding.
Whew. All
Oh,
right.
they lead into lots of things.
So tell us about the party, God damn it.
As
Where's
they should.
the party? Okay, my party. I'm turning 50.
Woo!
Woo! And of course, like I said, I grew up in the strip clubs. I'm so excited to have my 50th birthday party in a very historic strip club called the Penthouse Nightclub in Vancouver. It's been owned by the same Italian family for so many years. I don't even know. It's probably like over 50 years, maybe longer. I don't even, maybe even 100. It's crazy. And these guys are awesome. They have hosted a whole bunch of our Naked Truth events. So when I reached out to them and said, "Hey, it's Annie. I'm turning 50 and I want to have a big event at your club," they said, "Sure." So they're normally open Monday to Saturday in the strip club, and they're not open on Sunday. So I could do anything I want on Sunday. And
Oh.
Sunday the 7th is the day before my birthday. So I've made it so that it goes from 7 p.m. till 1 a.m. And at midnight, we can toast my birthday. And
Perfect.
I have Ella Hot Wheels as one of my performers, and she's going to do her roller pole show for the last show of the night. So she
Nice.
roller skates on stage. She's very sexy.
Nice. We will be. I will be fine. Is she on Instagram?
Oh, hell yeah.
Be finding her. Yeah.
Give her a look. Yeah.
She's awesome. And I actually have two world competing striptease artists who have lots of titles who will be there. Kimberly Blaze is the other one who will be there. And then I have all kinds of other shows. I have a male stripper who gets down to nothing, and that's hard to find male strippers who do that, but he gets down to nothing, and he's also incredibly good on the pole.
I bet.
He
Good
calls
on it,
himself
good with it.
the world's tallest contortionist. So I think his show is going to be really amazing as well. And then whole bunch of other shows. Even my daughter is going to do a pole dance show.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
It's a great way to,
Nice.
for her to be introduced to it, to just around people she's comfortable with. That's awesome.
Totally.
So the
It's going
male
to be a lot of
stripper
fun.
naked on a pole, I suppose you got to slide down it
Ow.
very strategically.
I mean, I'm so curious.
Tuck and
Yes.
slide. You got to tuck and slide.
I can
I have
slide.
not seen a male stripper get naked and do pole work, and I'm not sure if he will be naked on the pole or not, or I have no idea what his show is going to be like. I've only seen the shows that he has online, which obviously aren't naked, so I'm
Unless you
excited.
turn around and slide down in your butt cheeks.
Ouch.
No. The
No.
po
Who has to grab the pole next?
Well, that's not his problem.
Anyway.
I'm
No,
assuming he is a clean
no,
gentleman.
no, no. No, I'm assuming he is as well. Sorry, I'm saying no. No, it's not.
I'm just so excited. We're gonna have drag shows. We're gonna have everything. It's so,
Sounds amazing.
yeah.
That sounds like a party to be at. I wish we could be there.
I wish you guys could too.
It
We could
would
be there.
be a fun expense trip to go,
Right?
but
Right? Yeah.
unfortunately, we're leaving the next day to Belize, so.
Are you? Oh, that's
That'd
wonderful.
be a
Right
hard,
on.
yeah.
hard
Are you
transition.
doing your show over there as well, or just a nice holiday?
It's vacation, but we do record some shit. We'll pull, yeah. Not anything formal, but we'll have the phones,
Yeah, we'll do.
do some travel vlogging.
If people, because your fans will want to see what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep them up to date.
Yeah, we went last year the same week. So this is our second year going. It's a blast, so.
I follow you guys on Instagram, and I just love your Instagram. I love all your interviews. I'm
Thank
like, oh
you.
my gosh, I get to be alongside all these amazing people.
As you fit right in there.
You
But
do.
yes.
I'm so glad I would have never found you without this Podmatch thing. And I haven't found anybody else other than you, but I'm so glad I did, because there's so many interesting people to talk to, and it's hard on Instagram. You know, I don't know if I'd ever stumbled upon. So that's cool.
Yeah, I love the Podmatch thing because I get to put my very alternative views and my alternative message out into the mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that?
A lot of mainstream people. And it's interesting how many people want to talk to me from different kinds of podcasts. So relationship podcasts. I have one I'm doing on relationships where we'll be talking about monogamy culture and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. I just love it. I love it because I feel like being in the adult entertainment industry really gives you a different perspective on, like, you were talking about, I think, an intimacy coach that you interviewed before. And I was listening to her, and she was talking about how she has her partner has two other girlfriends or something like that. And this is so interesting because, you know, monogamy culture tells us, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. It has to be like this.
Yeah.
But if you can have really good communication and trust in a relationship, it's interesting the different variations of, I don't want to call it monogamy, but of relationships that
Their life the way they live it is, there's so many different variations. You're right. And it's interesting for us to just talk to people about it, because we wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. And the thing with it is if the people that are involved in the relationships are okay with the relationships, why should anybody else give a fuck? Like, who cares? I mean, if you want to have a partner and two boyfriends and da da da, and you're all good with that, and
as long as everybody's happy,
good for you. Yeah.
I agree. And also, like, this idea, like the whole monogamy culture thing of, like, this idea that you own your partner and that infidelity is the ultimate betrayal, and there's just so many aspects of it that I feel are going to cause people to fail in their relationship before it's even started, because they have these toxic ideas about how they now have permission to control this other person.
Yeah.
And it's just so insane. And being in the adult entertainment industry, so many of the guys that I dated were so jealous and so insecure, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a good relationship as an adult entertainer unless you find someone who's not jealous.
Yes,
this is true.
Like, key.
Yeah, first and foremost, that's got to be rule number one. You can't, there's no jealousy allowed, because obviously your job is going to put you in spots that are going to create some of that. And if,
but how amazing is it when you find that person?
Yeah.
So amazing.
And as these other couples have, they found the ones that are not jealous and are trustworthy and communication. Yeah.
Like, I feel like people have misunderstood what loyalty is. Loyalty is not, you know, I mean, sure, loyalty is keeping your promises, of course. And if you promise to be monogamous, then, and you break that, then you're not being loyal. I get that. But people going online then, say, or calling up all their friends or whatever it is and saying, this bastard cheated on me, and F him, and F all men, and like everything that all of that stuff, like all of that is disloyalty. Like, you're trash talking your partner. You're, you know, like, I don't know, like, that to me is disloyalty. Like, I would never date someone that I saw trash talk someone else that they dated online.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And it's not betrayal if you're all okay with it.
Right. Yeah. The rules are established and everything's good to go. You know what? Yeah. You know what?
Communication.
Yeah.
Communication is so important.
Well, yeah. And I mean, communication's important, you know,
no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah. Monogamous or not monogamous. I mean, it's what's most important. So I got to know, you still got a crush on Robert Kennedy Jr.?
Yes.
me too.
I hope you guys vote for him.
I will be voting for him. We don't really talk politics much, but, you know, the United States doesn't do a real good job of presenting us with people to vote for. So I'll just say that.
I'm like, okay, I am such a oxymoron, okay, because the majority of people in the adult entertainment industry are very far left,
Yeah.
very, very like anti-gun, anti a lot of things.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm not anti. So
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm the both, okay? So I have so many trans friends I love so much, and then I have conservative friends that hate trans people. I'm like, what's wrong with you? And
Yeah.
then I'm so like, vaccine choice and Elon Musk, like I fucking love Twitter now. Okay. You
Yeah,
know,
say what you
right?
want. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't, but at the same time, like, and this is the group that I belong to the most, is most of my people are like situated on the left. But then at the same time, I believe in gun rights. I believe in parental rights over our having medical decisions for our children and all kinds of things like that. So I find myself right here in the middle, and I just feel like our biggest problem in the whole world and humanity is division. And that's why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the best candidate, because he is for unity and people on both sides want to vote for him.
He is definitely somebody that pulls from both sides. So
He has been, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
he's not going to win,
Because he's not, because
unfortunately.
he's kind of in the middle, and he's not speaking crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, he does a little crazy. I mean, it depends what side
Little
you.
thing.
Everybody, the problem is the far left. Anyway, we're not going to do a lot of politics. The problem
Yeah,
is
the middle guy.
anybody off way
The
off on the far side, one or the other.
amazing thing about him that turns me on the most is that he is so fucking intelligent. He's like this lawyer guy that goes after corporations and like just takes them down, and just turns me.
Wow.
I love that shit.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, apparently she.
I love men who can speak too, like men, like an amazing speech will so totally turn me on. I don't know. I think everything turns me on. I'm just horny.
I was gonna say the only woman with wet panties at a TED Talks.
I don't think I'm the only one.
I don't think
Probably
he's the
not.
only one.
Probably not.
Because if you've seen him without his shirt, that guy too for his age is built. I mean, he is not
Yeah, he
a
takes
slouch.
care of
He
himself.
does, which.
His wife is hot too. I'm not gonna say that I fantasized about being with both of
Not
them. Nope, didn't say
but we don't judge, remember that. Not saying
Just
that
comes out
he
the
hasn't.
U.S. Secret Service might be knocking on your door. Excuse me.
I actually met him once. He came to my city to do like an environmental talk, and I had no interest in the subject because, I mean, that's terrible to admit. Oh my gosh, see what vodka does. I'm admitting that I am not really into the whole environmental cause.
That's okay. You are doing your good for this world in a different area.
In a
So
different
there
environment.
are plenty of yes, there are plenty of people who are taking care of what the environment needs. You're okay.
I paid like a few hundred dollars just to go and sit there and listen to him talk about I don't even know what. And then
Don't
afterwards,
remember
I got
one
to
word he
meet him.
said. You don't remember one thing.
Was something about water.
Yeah, the water in your panties is what I'm thinking.
Oh, you got me.
She wasn't wearing
I feel like he's not that old because I just love him and I think he's so hot. But when I told one of my friends that I thought that I had a, she said, "Who do you have a celebrity crush on?" And I said, "Robert F. Kennedy Jr." And she said, "Oh, I'm not the only one with daddy issues."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, do I?"
Maybe something to explore, but you never know. Hot's hot,
Hot is
right? I
hot.
mean, and it doesn't have to be for everybody, but your hot is hot regardless. If they're
Yes.
old, young, well, I shouldn't have said
That
that.
was politically incorrect.
I meant
Yeah. Not
all spectrums.
yeah. Just Include everybody.
Again, somehow. That's what vodka will do to you. So right? Thanks for suggesting vodka.
Vodka.
Tito's. Tito's. Let's not just say vodka. Tito's. As we try Tito's. To get them to come on board.
You guys are on the Tito's too?
Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Love Tito's. It's the only vodka to drink.
It's the sole vodka of a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody
thank you, Tito's.
Somebody else tried to get us and we turned them down. That's not true. But anyway.
I'm also coming out with another book.
Yes. I was gonna ask about that because I know you have your memoirs coming out soon. And what can people expect from that, and when will it be out?
So it's called How Sex Work Shaped My Life.
Ooh.
And it's about basically being a woman and having babies and going through the things that women go through, struggling financially, you know, being a single mom, and then all the kind of decisions I made, and then the health stuff I went through,
yeah,
how it all kind of developed into this love of adult entertainment and led me to this point now where I just can't leave the industry. You know,
every time I try to leave, it sucks me back in.
Yeah,
it sucks me back in a good way. But yeah, no, I just actually, it's funny because I've started this new kind of general direction because of a recent surgery. So I frantically, I was like, oh my God, I have to have this surgery. I'm going to have an ostomy bag on my stomach permanently. Will anyone ever want to see my OnlyFans? Will anyone want a sensual massage from me? Is this the end of my adult entertainment? And surprisingly, no.
Nope. Well, that which is great, but that had to have been some fears. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they were huge.
Probably bigger than the first time you went up and stripped. This is probably a bigger fear, or no?
No.
Okay. No. All right. I stand corrected.
But the reason why is because this industry, at least for me, and I can't speak for everyone, but I know it has been this case for other people as well, but this industry has made me feel more confident and less self-conscious about my body. And you would think it would do the opposite, but the validation, I mean, I hate admitting it. It is an ego thing, right?
Yeah,
but the validation that you get from people who think you're beautiful and tell you you're beautiful and are willing to pay money because they think you're beautiful, not just your body, but inside. And that's what was really proven when people were still willing to pay me after I had my surgery, is that they weren't only interested in what's on the outside. They were interested. They love me. They love Annie.
Yeah. And that's that beautiful thing you get from OnlyFans is you get that real connection and you're talking to that real person and you're learning about that real person instead of just watching Pornhub or whatever, you know, like just some rando that you have absolutely nothing. I do like that's the cool thing about OnlyFans and all the OnlyFans women that we've talked to, you know, and how they interact with fans is such an amazing thing.
Well, it's so special because our fans are living our lives with us. They go through it with us, the ones that stick around, you know. So a few of my fans that went through my surgery and I came out the other side, and then now I have guys signing up who have wives with ostomies, or they have ostomies. Some of them just want to, that, you know, and so many relationships of people who have this surgery, the sex goes away because the person who had the surgery doesn't feel sexual anymore, doesn't feel sexy or beautiful anymore. And that's so sad to me. And that's an opportunity for me to try and encourage people to say, you know, if even random strangers think I'm hot with an ostomy, then I'm sure your husband can find you hot with yours.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or, yeah.
You know, it's just
maybe hard to convince them for, you know, right away, but don't give up. Just keep, but I think you need to do that in every relationship, is to continue to tell how beautiful they are, regardless. Yeah. As their age goes and they just get more beautiful as they get older.
I think so too. I find, well, that is another really amazing and fascinating thing about working in intimacy, is like before I ever did that kind of work, I had an idea of the kind of men that I'm attracted to, or the kind of men that I would want to date or
Sure.
have a one night stand with or whatever. But now, because I've been intimate in the sensual massage scenario with men of varying ages, varying sizes, varying looks, men that I wouldn't have even considered finding attractive before, like if I met them in my regular life. Now I just find every man attractive. So I have guy friends that are like that, and I've known them my whole life, that like just they love all women, and I love them, and all women love them, and they love all women. Well, I'm one of those women. I love all men. I just walk around. I love everyone, actually. I just love people. I think everyone is just so beautiful, and every situation I just see so much beauty in it, and I'm so grateful. And I believe a lot of that is because of not just doing intimacy work, but going through my health challenges and coming out the other side, and then realizing what's really important, and just, you start to be have like grow this kind of sense of people's fragility and vulnerability. And instead of thinking, what are they thinking of me? You start to see them thinking, what is she thinking of me?
So when do the memoirs come out? When does the memoir come out?
The memoir launch date, official launch date, is April 2nd.
Oh, we don't
Oh,
have to wait
okay.
long. Oh,
That's not too far off.
all right.
Good birthday month. Before we move on, I just gotta say, so as I'm talking, you remind I've, it's a celebrity thing, but you remind me of Deborah Winger from Urban Cowboy.
Really? I'm gonna have to look that up.
Oh yeah.
Deborah Winger from
Oh
Urban Cowboy.
yeah, I see
You
it.
see it?
I do. I do. I didn't until you said it, but yes, I do.
So you've never, you don't know who Deborah Winger
No
is?
one has said that.
Okay.
And when I was okay, so I got my name, Annie Temple, from when I first started stripping, I was hanging out with a bunch of the stage dancers. I was the private show dancer still. And I was hanging out with a bunch of the stage dancers and said, I need a stage name. I finally have some costumes and stuff. I'm going to go on stage now. And they were like, well, does anyone ever say that you look like a celebrity? And I say, well, I've only really had people say that I look like Little Orphan Annie and Shirley Temple. And so they were like, Annie Temple, Annie Temple. And I was like, oh, I didn't really like it, but I was like, oh, I'll just use it for now. Well, it stuck, obviously.
It works though. It flows. It
It
sounds
really
good
does.
together. And honestly, I was wondering if that's where it came from when I was.
And then the only other celebrity that I've really had a lot, like a few people, weirdly, because the first time I thought, well, that's random and no one will ever say this again. But then I had it happen a few times that people said that I look like Sigourney Weaver
Oh, okay.
from
I
one of
see.
the aliens, maybe.
With the hair, for sure.
I see that too.
I mean, I see that because of the hair more than that. But your face structure, I think, because she was,
She's gorgeous. She's hot.
and she's even,
Well, thank you.
absolutely.
Gorgeous. Yeah,
I'll
for
take
sure.
that as a compliment.
Oh, well, absolutely. So, yes, that was 100% a compliment because. I might have had back in the day when Urban Cowboy came out, she might have been next in line after Pat Benatar, but that's a different story.
Wow, I liked Pat
Not as much as he
as
did.
much as I did.
Oh, really? Oh my
That
gosh.
that's when I
Did you
that's
have
when
a
I just
poster on your wall?
I had a lot of rock magazines and
That.
this if they and they stuck together, if you know what I mean. She was my numero uno when I started discovering life.
Have you followed her? How did she age?
She's got gray hair now, but she's still beautiful.
Ah, that's
I've seen
amazing.
her a couple of years ago. Still sounds amazing.
For
Still looks
her.
amazing.
You know who I had a poster of on my wall and didn't age well? I feel bad saying this now. I shouldn't have said that. Scott Baio.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
I used to jump on my bed and kiss his lips on the poster. I don't know.
I didn't think he changed that much look appearance-wise.
He hasn't, but he was young and cute then. Now he's old and
Oh,
mysterious.
that way he should have.
He didn't age well. He just looks kind of, I don't know, just, I don't know.
He's a little curmudgeon-y.
Like an old version of the young guy. He didn't grow into a man.
There you go. That's it. Yep. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still looks. Anyways, Scott Baio wasn't on my wall.
No, I didn't have Scott Baio on my wall either.
I had a lot of stuff, but yeah. So, anyways, yes. Definitely a compliment.
So promise us that you'll come back when your memoir comes out, because this has been so much fun and I think we could talk for 5 hours.
Yes.
So if you would love to. Yeah, we would love to have you back when the memoirs come out and do this again. You're a lot of fun to talk with.
I'll send you the memoir.
Awesome. Ooh, awesome.
I got a lot of reading to catch up. With some good stuff.
Is that all? Do you interview a lot of authors?
We've had a couple.
About a half a dozen.
Yeah, we've had a couple. It's for us, it's pretty much the only reading we ever do. We got to, you know, and I always forget to give them the reading assignment until like the week before. So I emailed them a couple days ago and said, oh, by the way, Annie has a couple books you might want to look at.
Well, if you give me your address or send me your address, I will send you a hard copy.
Awesome. We would love that. We will put it.
If you sign it, we'll throw it with
put it back here and let everybody
memorabilia.
See. Yeah. You are an absolute delight. Yes. And I knew that I saw you on a couple other podcasts and I knew this was going to go well because I could tell from you, you're a natural at this and you should be doing a ton of podcasts because you're a lot of fun to talk with. Yeah.
Well, I think you guys seem fun and I couldn't wait to be on your show and I would love to do it again. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Osses.
Osses.
There it is. That's where the vodka hit. Process and hit.
Damn. Cheers.
Right. Cheers. Thank you so
Cheers.
Much.
Cheers. Have a good night.
See you guys.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electricast.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electricast. Electricast.